RNZ Pacific, mālo tau ma upongi pongi ni. I'm Mara Tula Ipataylor with a bulletin of news. Samoa's Prime Minister, Fia Me Naomi Mataafa, has hinted that her cabinet will consider a recommendation from the National Emergency Operations Committee to delay some of the planned repatriation flights from New Zealand and Australia. The Prime Minister says this request came in after the cabinet meeting, and so they are moving to circulate a confirmation paper so they can move on this matter. Chairman of the Emergency Committee, Angafili Shem Leo, told a media conference that quarantine sites are getting congested, and with the quarantine period increasing to 21 days, there's a need to slow down the frequency of repatriation flights. The sudden addition of 70 people to quarantine after a man escaped from quarantine on Tuesday this week is also causing some issues in accommodating them. China has announced that it will establish a climate change response office with Pacific Island countries. This was announced as the last item on a joint statement issued by Beijing following the first China-Pacific Island countries foreign ministers meeting. The online meeting was attended by foreign ministers from eight Pacific countries: Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Niue, Tonga, Kiribati, Federated States of Micronesia, Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. In the statement, China says it will set up a China-Pacific Island Countries Climate Action Cooperation Centre and continue to assist Pacific Island countries in enhancing capacity building to tackle climate change. No further details were offered. A major business lobby says the New Zealand government's traffic light COVID-19 framework and extended support package provide the certainty many firms need to make plans and keep afloat. The chief executive of Business New Zealand, Kirk Hope, says the unknown length of Auckland's lockdown was causing a lot of stress.
Small business owners particularly have had to perhaps remortgage their properties and do all sorts of other things to be able to finance this. So it's really important that, A, there was some additional support, and that, B, we can get out of alert level 3 as quickly as possible.
Kirk Hope says the government has also paved the way for many businesses to introduce vaccine mandates. And the manager of the Parnell Business Association, Cheryl Edmondson, says that most of her members support making vaccine passports mandatory.
We're being held hostage by people who don't want to get vaccinated. I know she says it's only a small amount, but really if you extrapolate that, it could be weeks before those 16,000 get their first doses, and then we still need double doses. So although she set a target, I still think it's weeks away, and it's feeling very devastating.
Cheryl Edmondson says, however, that it could still be weeks before Auckland's three district health boards reach a 90% double vaccination rate. The Pacific is likely to experience a rare double dip La Nina in the coming months. La Nina is the phenomenon where the trade winds become stronger, warming waters in the western Pacific and causing the sea surface temperatures in the central and eastern Pacific to cool. These conditions can mean cooler and above normal rainfall in the west compared to the eastern Pacific. Climate models and prediction tools used by Pacific National Meteorological and Hydrological Services show this phenomenon is likely this summer. This means countries such as Kiribati, Nauru and Tuvalu may experience below normal rainfall, while higher rainfall is likely in Fiji, Niue, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga and Vanuatu. The US President Joe Biden has raised eyebrows by saying America would come to Taiwan's defence if it were attacked by China. Here's the BBC's Michael Bristow.
Mr. Biden's comments represent a departure from a long-standing US policy of being vague about its commitments to Taiwan. That policy aims to maintain the status quo. It discourages self-governing Taiwan from declaring independence because it doesn't know if it can rely on American support. It also encourages inaction in Beijing. China believes Taiwan is its own territory and wants unification. Open US support for Taiwan might push it towards taking military action to fulfil that goal. The White House says there's been no change in US policy, but Mr. Biden's comments will certainly add to tension between Washington and Beijing.
Pfizer says its COVID-19 vaccine is more than 90% effective in children. The United States Centers for Disease Control has also endorsed third or booster shots for adults. RNZ's US correspondent Sarah Walton reports.
Pfizer says a trial of its vaccine on 5 to 11-year-olds shows it's 91% effective at preventing symptomatic infections from the virus. The Food and Drug Administration will now debate the findings next week. If regulators give the go-ahead, the first children could be vaccinated next month. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control has said adults should receive booster shots of the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson shots a month after endorsing a Pfizer booster. New infections are now falling in most parts of the US, but around 75,000 cases are still being reported each day.
Staff at six Northland schools have reported problems with vaccine-hesitant colleagues to the Taitokerau Principals Association, but its president, Pat Newman, suspects that's just the tip of the iceberg. He says it's hard enough to get qualified, culturally competent teachers in Northland, and he does not know how schools will cope when the new rules mandating COVID-19 vaccine kick in.
I do not believe the Ministry of Health has any idea how schools, particularly in isolated rural communities, function, and I don't think they actually really want to.
The Ministry of Health says education workers need to have their first dose by November the 15th. Just three quarters of people in Northland have had a Pfizer shot. Two new cases of the virus were confirmed in the region yesterday. Tributes have been paid by Cook Islanders to a New Zealand doctor who died recently. Tauranga-based orthopaedic surgeon Andy McDermott is said to have operated on more than 3,000 Cook Islanders over 30 years. The Health Minister, Rose Tokey-Brown, says Mr. McDermott was a great friend of the Cook Islands and helped many of its people. She says when he returned to Tauranga, he would operate on Cook Islanders there, replacing the hips or knees, and then have them stay at his home while they recuperated. She says most recently he has done hip replacements for the Queen's representative, Sir Tom Masters, and local identity, Stephen Kavanagh, Captain Morkel. In sport, Manu Samoa trio Jack Lamb, Alamanda Motunga and Henry Temestoas are the latest players to sign with Moana Pacifica ahead of the inaugural Super Rugby Pacific season. Veteran flanker Jack Lamb spent the past two seasons with Japanese club NEC Green Rockets before returning to New Zealand earlier this year, making his way back to Waikato for the 2021 NPC season. The former Test captain is joined by Counties Manukau, Alamanda Motunga and Canterbury's Henry Temestoas. All three play for Samoa against the Māori All Blacks and Tonga in June and July to help secure qualification for the next Rugby World Cup. More players are expected to be announced next week. Namibia stunned Ireland this morning to advance to the Super 12 stage of T20 World Cup in their first appearance at the tournament. Choosing to bat first in the do-or-die game in the United Arab Emirates, Ireland were restricted to a modest 125 for 8, which Namibia chased down with 8 wickets and 9 balls to spare. Namibia go into Group 2 for the Super 12 stage alongside the Black Caps, India, Afghanistan, Pakistan and Scotland. Ireland's World Cup is now over. Also this morning, 2014 champion Sri Lanka, who were already through to the Super 12 stage, beat the Netherlands by 8 wickets to top Group A. Greymouth's Paul Cole has broken his run of losses to Egyptian Mustafa Asal to reach the final of the Qatar Squash Open in Doha. The pair had met three times previously on the PSA World Tour, with Asal winning all three contests. However, Cole was too strong this morning, winning in straight games.
For me, it was a huge mental battle, huge mental hurdle that I had to get over to beat him. And very happy with the performance today. I changed my tactics a little bit, and I think it worked well for me. So very pleased with that one.
Cole will play Diego Elias of Peru in the final. And Otago fought back from 17-0 down to beat Canterbury 22-20 in last night's NPC rugby match in Dunedin. Otago remained third in the championship standings, with Canterbury fifth in the premiership. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.